Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Arlene Cohen.
You're listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast thing for needlework artists that we do twice a week.
Oh, so we're artists this week. I like
that. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I was making progress on the Queen sampler last night, so I'm feeling very artistic.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Give us an update.
Yeah, I'm way behind Vana.
Okay.
Like light years behind Vana, but I'm cooking along now. And it's interesting with the reversible stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I'm on a row two, which is these acorns. So it's a vine, a satin stitch vine. And then hanging off of that is these what look like acorns, kind of a crude, blocky acorn, but beautiful in its own right. But it's all satin stitch. And you think, oh, geez, I'll rip through that in no time. But then you remember the satin stitch has to deliver on the backside too. Mm. So, like, for instance, if you do four stitches on the front, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you think, all right, I can move on to the next set. Mm-hmm. But no, you actually have to do that fifth stitch because you have to come up. You know, if you go up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, you have to come back up to complete the satin on the back. Mm-hmm. So you have the same strings on the back. And then after that, then you have to go somewhere to, and this is, of course, a vine that's going on angles. So you have to either go up or down without showing a carry thread. So it's been you figure it out. Mm-hmm. That you come up and you complete that backside, and then underneath the satin stitch, then you go back down and find your way to your next starting point so you can come up again and it won't be seen. But you have to figure out the stitch path. And mm-hmm. And once you get it, then you can really start to move. Mm-hmm. But, every one of those is like that. So it's a good mental challenge, but boy, you got to pay attention. I'm telling you, you got to pay attention. And, more than once watching TV and stitching this thing, you got to be kidding me. And I have to rip it out and do it again. And you do it with silk. So it can't take the beating that DMC can. And, so silk gets thrown into the Oort jar and yeah. But it's working out. I'm happy with it.
Are you enjoying the reversible stitching challenge? Like, is that an enjoyable part of this?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying the challenge. Mm-hmm. Would I prefer to just fly mm-hmm. and not do it reversibly? I think so. Mm-hmm. But I'm enjoying the challenge. And it'll make a better stitcher out of me because it's making me work very hard at stitch path.
Okay.
And planning that. So mm-hmm. I feel like I'm getting better. But for instance, this second row with the acorns and all the satin stitch could have had it done days ago. Just, you know, because it's satin stitch. You know, it's mm-hmm. two strands.
You just go.
You just lay the threads and go. And not the case. So you have to think about it a little bit. But yeah, it's I'm pretty confident that even when I get back to more conventional stuff that it will be I'll be better at it. So it's worth that. But yeah, I've had moments where oh geez, can't I just stitch this thing? Mm-hmm. Move on.
Yeah, that's what I feel like I might get to that. Like I might enjoy the challenge of the reversible cross stitch for like an alphabet or whatever, but then I'd sort of say, okay, been there, done that, got the idea of it. Unless I was stitching it reversibly for a reason, are you planning to frame it with glass on both sides? Will you do something like that?
Not sure. Not sure. I know Vana is because she wants to enter it at a fair. I'm not sure because I'm not sure I care that much.
Okay.
For me, so much of this stuff is just the personnel challenge. Mm-hmm. That beyond that, I really don't give a rip. And like the reversible cross stitch. Now I'm doing Linda Vinson's in her chart of four different ways to do it. I'm doing the one that makes the box on the back.
Yep.
And so I like that. I think that's fun because when I flip it over, I have the same alphabet only with boxes. And I think that's mm-hmm. a neat thing. And I think I stitch it flipped over and backwards because it's easier mentally for me to just make the boxes and let the X's happen.
Mm.
And so it's fun then to turn it over and see I have X's all the way around. And that's, you know, so it's a fun thing. But am I going to sign up and buy 6 different reversible projects and stitch them after this? No, that ain't happening. I'm going back to Sarah B and just simple mindless cross stitch. And actually, I'll probably go back to some needlepoint because I'll have had enough of 40 count for a while. So, yeah. No, it's good. It's good. It's an excellent challenge, but we knew that going in. You know, that was, mm-hmm. and that's why I was interested in it in the first place, because of the challenge, the stitching challenge top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
That's what intrigued me when I first saw it in Nashville and when I did that video with Linda is, you know, the little voice just kept saying to me, this is a ride you got to do just because of what all the things that will be learned and all the experience that will be gained all in one piece.
Mm.
And for, so that for me is, you know, I'm not losing any motivation at all. I mean, it's last night it was 11 o'clock. And it's like, oh man, I got to go to bed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to stop and I didn't want to stop. And so there's momentum. It's fun. It's a good challenge, but boy, you got to stay on your game all the time. It's, there's no getting lazy. So,
well, that's a sign of a good, stitching project when you want to keep going and something like bedtime is what stops you and not because you're tired of it or boredom or whatever. Yep. So,
well, last night I was watching a movie. It was an excellent movie, The Sum of All Fears, the Tom Clancy thing. It ended, and the natural inclination is to find something else to put on the TV. I was so into the stitching, I didn't even bother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for me, that was, oh, this is, you know, no, I don't need another thing going on. I'm into this. Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, no, it's good. It's a good, it's a good challenge. And there's, and the thing is this reversible stuff at the top, there's so much more that lies ahead with the white work and the other things that all are going to be challenges. So it'll be good.
Excellent.
You're a big winner.
Oh, you could, well, thank you.
Gossamer lace. Now, now we've talked about gossamer lace more than once. You've done more than once on your Flosstube videos.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people go back and look at that because you'll get to see the evolution of that and the end product and everything. So, so you entered it at the A&G seminar and got yourself a ribbon.
Yes. So the A&G American Needlepoint Guild does an annual seminar, and part of their annual seminar is an exhibit. And I've entered into their exhibit a few times over the past few years. It's a competition that is, what can I say? Attracts a lot of beautiful work. I've only had the opportunity to see it in person once a few years back when it was in Philadelphia, and there it's open to the public, or at least some points of the days it's open to the public. So I was able to go down and see it. I've never actually attended seminar. Once a year they put out an edition of the magazine that has all the ribbon winners, and so at least you're able to see members of A&G who get the magazine are able to see the pieces that win ribbons. So it gives you some sense of the quality and the level of needlework that comes in, the different categories of everything. I appreciated very much that one time I got to see it in Philadelphia, and I'm assuming it's like this everywhere, that they very much have everything organized by category. If you are competing in, if your piece is in the painted canvas, non-professional, done without a stitch guide, for example, category, all of those pieces are kept together. And if your piece is completely, what's it called, independent work of art, professional category, those are all put together. As opposed to, for example, when I've entered pieces in the Woodlawn competition, an exhibit that is down in Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C., where pieces are just displayed all over the house and not necessarily pieces from the same category or near one another. So at A&G, it's nice to be able to see that again, at least my one experience. So I entered Gossamer Lace this year. I had to make a decision whether to enter it or to have the actual piece at the New Jersey Floss Tube Retreat, which just happened a couple weeks ago, because the timing was such that I needed to have it mailed in, because the seminar this year was down in Houston, and you have to mail in entries ahead of time. And I just made the decision that I wanted to enter it, so I did not have the actual piece, although I had a picture of it at the New Jersey retreat. And so I found out this past weekend, as the actual event was happening, that my Gossamer Lace won first place in this competition. And what was really exciting for me, this is the first year that I entered in the professional category, professional being as a designer. I did not enter anything last year, 2018, and 2017, which was just that summer when I did enter something. It was just right after I had started Works by ABC. And certainly the piece that I entered was not my own design. I did not enter as a professional at that point. But so this was my first year taking that leap in level, shall we say. And so from that, I really had no idea how it would stand up to the other pieces in its category. I was entered in the adaptation category, and I really liked that this was a category that ANG has. Woodlawn also does something similar. So you have completely, I'm blanking on the name of what they call, completely independent created design. Then you have adaptation. Then you have what's called independent project, which is to say something you've worked from a pattern, so to speak. Completely created your own design would be many of my pieces, but many of my own designs. But Gossamer Lace is an adaptation of, as I have shared on my videos, a filet lace tablecloth. And especially when you provide where your source of inspiration is from, I have adapted from one artistic medium to another. And so I entered it in that category, and then the subcategory being on the professional side. And I was just really excited to discover a first place win. So yeah, that's my big news of the week.
Well, congratulations. That's pretty huge, quite frankly.
Thank you.
And then, of course, to be in the professional category, there's a few people that attend that thing and submit to the exhibit in the professional category who are just slightly skilled. So
yeah, slightly.
To get a first place out of that is really, really impressive. So yay for you. And I'll do the commercial. Works by ABC, Etsy shop. You too can own the Gossamer Lace chart. So
yes.
Just go there and check it out. So yay for you on that. That's fantastic. Now, a couple of other things. The FiberTalk needle minder is still available, and a 1-inch size should be available next week.
Okay.
So for those of you looking for a smaller one, because 2-inch was more than you wanted, be a 1-inch size coming up next week.
Excellent.
On the old shop page at wetalkfiber.com. So we'll have that. And then I want to get a plug in for Maria, who is the owner of a new online cross-stitch business, needleartcharts.com. No, I knew I'd screw it up. Needleartoncharts.com. Needleartoncharts.com is her new business. She's just getting started, and several cross-stitch charts already there and growing quickly. I was surprised when I first had communication with her a couple of weeks ago. She really didn't even have her website up, and then she got it up and had a couple of charts, and then I looked yesterday, and she has a bunch more. So she's growing quickly, and so it's a place to look. And then she has a 100 followers celebration that started yesterday on the 20th of August, that a competition on Facebook and Instagram that you can enter. And so check her out, needleartoncharts.com. And I'll put a link in the show notes for this show. But worth checking out, a new online store. And I'm sure she has plans for what she wants to do way beyond just getting started here. So help her out, check her out, see what she has, and watch her grow. It's fun.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yep. So I have to, okay, this is... We all know, because I've said it 100 times, I ride a road bike a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out, I live such that 2 miles outside of town, I'm in corn and soybean country. Probably if I tried, other than an intermittent small town, all the way to the Mississippi River. I mean, just nothing but corn and soybean fields as far as you can see. And so I get to ride on relatively flat roads that are hardly traveled and good roads. And so I can just go for miles. So I do it a lot. It's a lot of fun. It gives me time by myself, meditation, so on and so forth. This past Saturday, I was out. And I tell you all of that because one of the things that is not unusual is to see hot air balloons, especially this time of year, because the air is calmer and it's warm, but cool enough in the morning. But with the heat and the high pressure systems, you don't have a lot of upper air wind. So balloons can go up and not get blown into the next county in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. So it's not unusual to see hot air balloons. And there's a launch port not too far from me. And of course, there's nothing but open fields. So there's no wires and telephone poles to snag on. And there are usually plenty of safe places to land and so on and so forth. So I'm riding this past Saturday and there's a hot air balloon. And I've seen enough of them that, you watch them because they're beautiful and it's neat the way they float in the air. And it was coming toward me. And it was coming down, so they were clearly going to land.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to my a turn, and I made the turn. And if you've ever, for those who have never experienced hot air balloons, it's the people in the balloon, and then there's always a chase vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
There's a vehicle with a trailer, because somebody has to carry, there has to be a way to carry the big basket and the big burner and the gas. And, of course, the balloon, which is a massive amount of cloth. And so there's always a chase vehicle. And you know, there's always potential that you're going to have to come down in an emergency. So there has to be somebody on the ground to cover your butt at all times. And this guy was coming down, and I could see where he was going to land. But it looked like he was hovering over a cornfield. And landing in cornfields is not popular because farmers get really upset.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of money if you land and destroy And I saw the chase vehicle, and I stopped to take a picture because, of course, Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up to the chase vehicle, and the guy was looking on his phone. He was clearly following or communicating with the balloon captain.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just interested. I mean, I'm interested in it. It's a fascinating world. And so I said to the guy, I just rode up and said, hey, where's he planning to land? It looks like he's hovering over corn. And the guy doesn't even look up. Just, I have no idea. And I made some other comment. And I said, I assume you're watching him on your phone. Yeah. I said, yeah. And I asked some other question. He didn't even look up. He just, no interest whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
And I'm interested in this hobby, you know, and I'm not going to stand there for the next hour. I mean, I'm dripping sweat, riding a bike. I'm obviously not going to be there for the next hour. I just wanted to, you know, a little conversation. I was curious about what was going on here. He had no interest whatsoever. So I didn't even say goodbye or thanks. I just rolled off, you know, okay, buddy, clearly you don't want to be bothered with me, but it got me thinking that little event, and it's kind of stuck with me because the end result of that is a negative feeling because I had another 20 or 30 miles to go after that. And so it's on my mind, the negative color he put on hot air ballooning for someone who's interested, but would never do it, would never have a means to do it.
Mm.
You know, he just created a negative aura over that because he wouldn't take 10 seconds to at least look me in the eye and give me some kind of a feeling of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so then I started to translate that because I've been really sensitive lately for whatever reason to beginners in the needlework hobby. And because we have a lot of beginners and we need to always be careful that we help them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, because, okay, how many times have we been asked in a Facebook group or elsewhere how to thread a needle?
Yep.
Or you know, how many threads are in a 40 count fabric? But you just want to sometimes, oh, geez, again. But you got to remember, these are new people. These are the future of the hobby. These are new additions to the hobby. And so help them.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, for all this guy knew, I could have had $100,000 to help support their ballooning for the next 5 years. You know, what did he
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
Would never happen in a million years. But
yeah.
But, you know, and so it got me thinking about how we treat those who are curious about the hobby, who may never stitch, but, you know, say you're stitching in an airport or at an event and someone comes up and asks. And so I just wanted to ask you, you know, the reaction. And of course, for me, it's to launch into this long, protracted discussion about needlework and all the details and nuances, which then, of course, just, oh, get me out of here, you know.
Yeah.
so what's the happy medium for that kind of an exchange?
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly not keep your head down and keep stitching and grunt at them.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, offer a little insight. You never know. You might convert someone or you might, they just walk away having a better feeling than I got from the hot air balloon guy.
Yeah,
but it was just one of those things where hot air ballooning to needlework, but it's the same thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did not leave me with a good feeling, and it still kind of rubs me the wrong way a couple 3 days later.
Hmm. Now, is there any chance that he was so focused on his phone because he needed to be focused on communication with the balloon people, or he couldn't take any time to be talking to you because
The guy was hovering, hadn't moved in some time.
Okay.
And it wasn't like he was keying in.
He wasn't doing
text
anything.
Or he was just watching his phone.
Okay.
And no, so, not at all.
Okay. So, I mean, this is where there's a side of me that just goes back to in general in the, that we get a little, we are so lucky within the stitching community that we are so used to such friendliness and helpfulness that sometimes we forget in the real world, there isn't so much friendliness and helpfulness, or at least percentage wise, you know, if we had to put percentage on it, you know, I would say 98% of the stitchers, you know, in the stitching community that I've encountered are friendly and helpful to people. Whereas in the real world, what is that percentage? 75% or, you know, if you're lucky on a good day kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you do find that rudeness and I think, I mean, I can't think off the top of my head if I had ever had a time where I've been trying to learn something about something that someone else has been interested in. And I don't know, the other thought is that guy is someone's brother who's got roped into having to follow the balloon and he doesn't really want to be doing any of this. And I don't know. I mean,
He could be, his Saturday was ruined because his brother wanted to go hot air ballooning. Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. But in terms of when I have been stitching in public or, you know, sitting at an airport, what have you, and someone shows some element of interest, it is trying to gauge what is their, you know, element, how much of an interest, because I tend to not delve into a whole long speech because I don't want to waste my time or their time with it. It's only if, you know, I explain briefly what I'm working on or what I'm doing and then see what their response to that is. Some people will just say, oh, that's nice. Or, oh, my grandmother used to do that. Or, oh, I know someone who does that. And then they move on and okay, great. I've had a 30-second interaction with somebody, but sometimes they hover and they ask more questions and then I respond a little bit more. And actually I see this more in the lace world, where my bobbin lace, it's a common thing to be doing demonstrations and you're at like a fair or a fair and you're sitting there specifically so people will walk by and potentially ask you questions. And there are some lace demonstrators that will, try to rope people in to come, look, listen, let me talk your ear off. And I don't do that. I try to, you know, let them watch and I will share a little bit, but I also want to, in effect, give them the out if they want to walk away. But there are some that are definitely interested and stay put and want to hear more and more and more. And again, it's just trying to gauge what is the interest level. When I have been sitting at an airport, again, stitching, sometimes you see someone looking at you and you, I don't know, I'm not the kind that will initiate the conversation, but I might be very aware that someone is looking at me stitching. And I wouldn't mind if they say something to me, what are you stitching on or what are you doing or anything like that. I'm not out to make converts of anyone, but, you know, there's something to be said about doing, I mean, when you hear about Stitch in Public days and all of that, get someone involved in the thing that you love, promote the hobby, promote the craft. I believe in all of that, but I also know that not every hobby, craft, interest, passion is like that. Not everyone will do it that way. Yeah. It seems like the guy you interacted with on Saturday was in no way interested in that.
No, he wasn't at all. No. And see, you think that through much more than I do. Number one, I don't stitch in public that much because male stitching is, you know, of course that whole thing. But when I've had people ask, usually it's, you know, how weird are you? Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, you can not, they don't say that, but you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
What
yeah.
Do you know, how weird is that? So whatever. But then when people have been interested, then see, I'll do that. I know I do. I'll launch into a long detailed thing. And then at some point my mind will go, shut up, mm-hmm. you know, just shut up. They don't care. They just ask a simple question. And mm-hmm. I need to find that. I need to control myself with that. Because, they didn't care that much. They just cared a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who's watching you from a distance, yeah, it's like, break the ice. Will you come over and ask the question? Because it's really getting creepy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just a thing. And it's that being willing to share the hobby, because you never know.
True.
But then at the same point, constraining yourself so you don't get ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly not being rude.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, it was just one of those things. And of course, when you're on a bike in the middle of cornfields, a lot of thinking gets done. So
mm-hmm.
I pondered that for a long time, but,
Well, and I'll go back to, again, we are very lucky within the stitching community to have such a high percentage of helpfulness and caring and lack of rudeness.
Right.
We may not be at 100%, but I think we're pretty close. And that just is not the same for the real world. sometimes you just got to keep that in mind that not everyone is the same about their interests and passions are not, they don't feel the same about it.
Yep. So true. Yeah. Well, anyway, it was an interesting experience.
Yep.
You did, on your recent FlossTube, you had some comments about the New Jersey Fair.
Yes.
And it was interesting because I had watched that the day before our Fox Needlepoint Guild chapter meeting.
Uh-huh.
And so I had that in my mind. Because, Arlene, I carry you in my mind at all times.
I feel so special.
Yeah. Okay. And two or three ladies at the Fox Guild meeting, I assume they all do this, there's always show and tell.
Uh-huh.
You know, what have you finished and so on and so forth? What have you gotten finished for you and so on? And it's not unusual for shop owners who are also members to bring finished pieces for members. And they mm-hmm. get to open it right there and then, oh, look at this. It's all framed and it's beautiful. And so that's always a popular time, the show and tell. Well, two or three ladies had success at local fairs. And where I live, there are three counties. I'm basically at the border of three counties and not too far from a fourth, just because mm-hmm. of the way they work out. So people from all around can go to different fairs and all be at the same meeting. And so it was, you know, cheering because people had earned ribbons and mm-hmm. One had done very well. And one lady stood up and had this beautiful, I think it was cross stitch. Yeah, it was cross stitch because she said so much of it was over one.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful. It was big. It was beautiful. I mean, you just like I should have gone and looked later up close, but you could just tell it was beautiful. She did not get any recognition for that because one of the judges she overheard commenting that she couldn't give that any recognition because the linen was dirty.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was obviously overdyed linen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, the linen was dirty, so, you know, basically, why would you enter a dirty piece? Mm. And of course, you can imagine the groan through the crowd.
As
they hear this, because, I mean, number one, why would you enter a dirty piece in the first place if you went to all that trouble to stitch it? But number two, clearly a judge that had no clue whatsoever
about types of linen. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And so it was this real mixed bag of fair results at the Fox chapter. And then, of course, people lately have been posting, because this is state fair and county fair time, have been posting about their successes. And then you posted, what did you say about the Jersey Fair? You were less than impressed, I think.
Yeah. So, and I need to preface this by saying, if anyone who's involved in the New Jersey State Fair, this is just my own personal thoughts and opinions. So this is the first year that I'd actually even heard that there was a state fair in New Jersey. I feel like I know a friend of mine had asked me about this. I want to say it was a year ago, because I remember telling her about I've entered some things two different years at a county fair, the county that I live in. And I haven't entered in a while, just for a number of reasons, but basically just, I would love like a needlework experience like you get at entering in Woodlawn or entering at the ANG exhibit. And the county fair near me, I hear Vaughn, I'm just going to use her as the example, talk about entering at her fair all the time. And when I hear her talking about it, that she talks about, it seems like there's a lot of needlework pieces and that there is good competition. And I'm not saying that from a competitive aspect, but just that there's a lot of good quality needlework there. And that makes for good conversation about what has been entered and what makes a good needlework piece, whether or not you agree with the judges in terms of who got what ribbon. I would not say that the county fair near me had a lot of anything. It just felt like they kept splitting all the categories so that everyone got a ribbon, and most of the ribbons were first and second places. And it was more of a display of beautiful work. But there wasn't that much of any given category in the couple of years that I entered things. This was the first year I'd heard about a New Jersey State Fair, and it was located quite some distance from me. And that initially put me off. The reason I heard about it is because it also has lace, a whole lace category. And that it's partially because it's the lace categories are sponsored by one of the lace guilds. And anyway, it was enough for me wonder if the state fair would be up a level, a higher level of entry.
Yeah, you would expect it would be a good, solid level above a county fair. County. Yeah.
Yes, and I would have to say, at least for the I can't speak to the animals and to the 4-H stuff and to any other thing that was going on at the fair. I'm only speaking toward the hobbies, crafts area. I would say from what I remember of that county fair, I haven't been there in years, like the quilts definitely seem to be up a level. But beyond the quilts, the whole other part of the handcrafted things seemed in a lot of ways to be very similar to what I saw in the county fair, in that everyone got a ribbon and the majority of the ribbons seemed to be first place ribbons. And
everybody wins.
I will give kudos and credits to this, because I didn't get this at the county fair, that I did get back a little slip of paper for each of my three entries that had scores and a sentence or two from the judges. And so I'd never gotten any feedback from the county fair, at least not that I remember by any means. And it was just all superlative. The two needlework pieces that I entered were just superlative, wonderful things. And there wasn't that much, like, it was hard the way everything was displayed. It was just so confusing to find, you know, there were a few pieces, like the two that I entered, that were framed, and so they were hanging because they were framed. So there were maybe 8 or 10 that were framed that were hanging along a wall. There were other cross stitch and needlepoint things that were smalls or, you know, finished in other ways, and they were on shelves and in cabinets, and but they were mixed in with other crafts, like sitting next to a knitted thing, sitting next to a crocheted thing, sitting next to like crafty, like other craft categories. It was all mixed together. And again, it was just, it was really more, again, of a display of beautiful handmade things. And so I, for those of you listening that have state fairs or even county fairs that truly are displays of needlework that are, and for me, it's not so much a competitive thing. It's not that I need to win a best show or best category, a best whatever. I just would love to see what a judge might consider a best in show or a best of category or best of class or whatever, however it's judged.
Yeah, I thought that was the most telling statement that you made.
Yeah.
Was, I'd just like to see what you think is best in show. I don't care if it's me or not, but how do then I can judge how I stack up against that.
Yep.
And I thought that really summed it up. Like, could you at least make that effort so we can at least have a target?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just didn't seem to be that was the the, at least for the categories that that cross stitch and needlepoint and those that, I did see one best in show ribbon for like a woodworking kind of thing. So maybe some of the other category, not best in show, best in class or some, there was a larger ribbon on a woodworking thing. Okay. But, and the quilts might've had a whole different scoring category because I definitely saw some different ribbon things going on there. But at least for these categories, it just, the way it was scored or judged or however you might say. And you know, and it was also very telling when I was picking things up, you know, you stop at the first person, you sort of check in, you get assigned a volunteer who then you walk over and you pick up your things and they compare your little stubs and they bring you to the end person, the end person checks. So there were three different people that I interacted with, and all three people went out of their way to say, thank you for entering to the fair. We hope to see you again next year. And, you know, there really was an appreciation that every single person who entered made the overall display. And it was like an indoor, I don't want to say a barn. It was a building space. Beautiful. I mean, there was tons of stuff in there. But it takes everyone entering to make it a nice overall display. So they appreciate everyone who was entering. It just, I guess I was hoping that it would be a little bit more of a display that, I don't know, that would be more what I could imagine a state fair level might be. I come at this from seeing on some of the Facebook groups, on Stitch Mania, on Needlepoint Nation, on different groups where people post, I entered such and such in the fair and I got this ribbon, and the pride that they have in that. And I'm so happy for them. The two first place ribbons that my two pieces were given, I can't say that I have much pride in them. They just, they were what they were, you know?
Yeah.
So that was, you know, that was my experience with the New Jersey State Fair. I do believe in supporting events like that and wanting them to have a good display. For me, the logistics of getting things there, just because it was a good over hour and a half drive to be there to pick up. I had a friend that dropped off for me, and I don't know if I can do it in the future. If a friend is willing to drop things off who lives closer, maybe. It was an interesting experience, and I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I could say I at least did it once and participated once. And I'll say that I wish I lived in a state where it was a little bit of a different experience. So,
yeah, this whole fair thing, and it's really been kind of evident this year with all the posts, it really is a mixed bag. Across the country, and it would be really, of course, all the facets of that come into play, because it would be really great if everyone could have a situation like Vonna clearly has, where there are competent judges who can give solid feedback that Ilvana has told the story 100 times of how it, she has taken that feedback, and though it made her mad initially, has put it to work and made herself a better stitcher and made herself into best of show type stitcher. And you really would hope that it could be that way everywhere.
Sure.
And of course, then the minute you make that complaint or suggestion or constructive criticism or however you present it, then what can come back is, well, are you getting involved? Are you showing up to help judge? Are you showing up to help make sure that the display is organized such that all the needlework is together? Are you, what are you doing to help improve it? And that's a fair argument too.
Sure.
And I don't, that's a tough one to answer because, I just wanted to enter in the fair. I'm sorry. But by the same token, if you truly want it to be better, suck it up and get involved. But then who, how many people truly have time? Cause it's more than just one day of accepting entries. It's a lot of time, getting entries, sending out mailings, all manner of stuff. So it's a real mixed bag of what to do and what not to do. But then certainly at the state fair, you would expect that there would be a clear high caliber of presentation and judging and so on and so forth, but not always the case.
No.
I can't give that recognition because the linen's dirty. See, and that you immediately know that's a set of judges that, because any judge who knew what they were doing would have said, no, actually, it's not dirty. It's perfect. And hang a blue ribbon on that thing. But, so that tells you. And then, like you said, everyone got a blue ribbon. Well, at this particular one, what do the ribbons mean? And it raises questions. So, but then, okay, these are the judges we could get. Where were you?
Well, and the other side of that is they, if they really want to promote having a wonderful display, they want, there are some people that want to walk away with a blue ribbon and don't care that everyone has a blue ribbon. And so if you are going to discourage people by them walking in and not seeing a ribbon at all, and that's going to make some people say, oh, I'm not going to bother entering into this. So like one philosophy would be, I want to say I read this somewhere deep in their website that, there's two ways to judge things. There's two systems. One is, in every category, there's only one first place, one second place, one third place, or there is the, you score it and anyone who scores at this level earns a first place and anyone who scores at this level earns a second place and so on. And they go toward that second method. And it's just that they give lots of high scores. I understand that if they want to get a lot of people who, there's some people who truly just want the ribbons. They want to collect the ribbons and they feel good about getting a first place ribbon. And if they walked in, year after year and don't get a ribbon or get an honorable mention, they're not going to bother entering to the fair. And then the number of people, the display, the overall display gets smaller and smaller and it gets discouraging. So that's, part of the flip side of the argument is don't make it a particularly competitive event and make it more of a all-inclusive event. I don't agree with that. I'm just saying that could be one philosophy that is out there in these categories that I'm encountering.
And see, and I would say to that approach, that judging approach where everybody with X points or higher gets this. Well, then if all of those are that good, then what is the best in show? Why not? What's wrong with identifying the best in show? If they're all that good, then you obviously have, in your opinion, a high caliber of entries. So then let's identify the best of that. Why not? I don't know. It's the trouble with it is I'm sure all volunteer. It's people who want to do it. you get the we've always done it this way.
Mm-hmm.
You get the same people who've been doing it forever, and you can't fault them because at least they're showing up. Otherwise, Absolutely. There wouldn't be anything.
Sure.
There's probably no winning in this thing, but
it
would be really great if across the country everybody had a situation like Vonna clearly does, where
mm-hmm.
when you enter that thing, you're going to find out who's best. And, mm-hmm. and if you're not, you're going to find out why. And that's, you know, that's what helps, you know.
Although the caveat to that is it is 1, 2, 3 person's opinion about
right.
who's best. I mean, I once entered something that I got judges' feedback, and there were 3 judges, and 2 of them gave me complete opposite feedback. Such and such was done very well, such and such needed improvement, and that such and such was the complete opposite. It was the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a very, this was some time ago, but that was a very interesting experience for me to always keep in mind that it is very much individual's opinion. And that was a case where having 3 judge panel, you know, in theory balances out individual's opinions.
Right.
But,
right.
But having the feedback on one particular aspect and 2 people clearly had opposite opinions on it was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. At least it gives you something to think about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. So anyway, the fair is just this year in particular, the postings have really indicated that it's kind of all over the road. And
mm-hmm.
It's just interesting. But, you know, people yep. should enter. People should still enter. And I say that having never entered anything.
Yeah.
But people should enter these things. I mean, you have, and you go to the trouble, even though you don't attend the A&G seminar, to enter your things. And whether you get ribbons or not, you get feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that participation thing. And for some, I'm going to enter this one. So then that sets a challenge for how you go about stitching it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm always interested in, do people stitch because they want to enter this one, or do they stitch it and after the fact, you know, I think I'll enter that. That came out okay. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know. Is that the Gossamer lace? You don't really stitch to enter, do you?
You mean, was I thinking that when I was stitching the Gossamer lace?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if at some point during stitching that, did it occur to me that I would enter it? I probably at some point while stitching it thought, this is coming out really nice. I probably will enter this piece. But I don't think that really affected how I stitched it.
I guess that's what I was really getting to. Do you then really buckle down and try to do an extra good job, or do you just keep stitching the way you always do, but the voice in your head is saying, hey, this is worth entering?
I think I just keep stitching the way I always do and think, this is worth entering. This is worth the trouble, the effort to enter it somewhere. And just, you know, just to share it with people is the spirit of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some things that are easier to enter in, you know, to enter something in my local county fair, which would be driving a short distance and logistically way easier than mailing off to A&G and making sure I fill in the paperwork on time and all
yep.
of that. I mean, there's differences in doing, you know, or entering to Woodlawn, you know, in that time of year, all those different things. You know, it's all about what you want to do. No, I think it's over the years, it's been the larger projects, the ones that I've worked on for some months or longer, the ones that I feel a real connection with, that it's almost like, you know, I've poured my heart and soul into this. I need to share this with other people. I mean, those are the pieces that I have entered over the years.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very rarely, if ever, been I'm going to use the phrase quick stitch. I don't do quick stitches.
Yeah.
But it's basically a long-term project that I just am pleased with what I've done. And I want to make sure that, you know, I have at least a little opportunity to share that with others. And I mean, nowadays, of course, you share that on Facebook, on Instagram, and so on. But there's something to be said about sharing in person when you have the opportunities.
Right. Well, yeah, the silk gauze one that you did. I mean, I think I can safely say you had Needlepoint Nation fairly captivated for a long time with your updates, because that thing is just one stunning piece. And it took you a long time, and it was a lot of hard work. And so, yeah, you should enter that, and you certainly got recognized the way you should have for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then watching the Gossamer Lace one unfold certainly keeps in line with that approach, with your approach, in that, yeah, you poured a lot into that. It really evolved and developed, and is again a beautiful piece. I mean, that mm-hmm. White on blue is just striking. Every time I see it, I have to pause.
Yeah,
it's just one of those that came together beautifully for you,
mm-hmm.
and you got recognized for it. So, it's just the whole thing. The whole inner competition thing is just an interesting other dynamic,
mm-hmm.
and of course that's just part of what makes this hobby so much fun. Is there are mm-hmm. so many facets that you can latch onto that. If, you know, to say you're bored, come on.
There's different pieces. And I really do encourage, I know there's some people that will say, oh, I never want to enter anything, or my work isn't good enough and all that. And I think every single competition that I am aware of, you know, county fair all the way up to whatever you would consider the top, there really is an element of sharing your work and thinking about all the people that do are lucky enough to get the opportunity to see that display in person. And what you are doing is contributing to a beautiful display, overall display. And so, yes, there may be ribbons awarded, and yes, there may be thrills when a ribbon is earned and disappointment when a ribbon is not earned. But to me, when I have those conversations with folks about how they, oh, I never want to enter because my work, quote, isn't good enough. Yes, it is. Everyone's work is good enough to be a part of a display of needlework. You know, it's part of art. You know, you could go into any art museum and you will see the full range of artistic styles and artistic levels. And you can make your own decision of what is a good piece of art and what is, quote, well, I'll just say a not so good piece of art. And your opinion is going to be different from the person standing next to you. And I think that is the same when you go to the county fair, or when you go to an A&G exhibit, or to Woodlawn, or to any of these other opportunities. And that's part of entering. It's being part of a display. And I think, you know, and again, there, the factors of the logistics of how do you get it there and how do you pick it up and all that. Sure, that comes into play. And if that's the limiting factor, of course. But if there is an opportunity that you have, go for it. Do it. You know, just be a part of a display, because I think it's yet another way to encourage more people out there to just be aware of just how big this hobby is. It's, and that it's not, quote, your grandmother's needlepoint or cross stitch. It's not. It's so much bigger than what I think a lot of people who might be walking through that fair would necessarily know. Or they might think everyone knits and then they
yeah,
walk in.
Yeah.
And they walk into a building like the building I walked into that had the display, and they see this building had a very high ceiling, so they have all the quilts hanging from the ceiling. So that was a very visual, you know, a visual eye grab. But then once your eyes came down from the ceiling and you saw the knitting and the crocheting, but then sitting right next to it was the cross stitch and the needlepoint and the other things. And then you really get an appreciation of everything that's out there. Well, it takes all kinds to enter. You know, you really do, you know, that's my little plug for encouraging everyone to find whatever opportunities you might have in your area and be a part of them. At least once, give it a try. You can't poo-poo it until you've given it a try once. That's my take on it.
Okay.
So I'm speaking to you, Gary, because you said that you have an
answer. I knew you were going to turn that on me.
So, Gary, we're going to talk about – I know you have finished items in your home. You've talked about that. You say you don't care how it gets finished. You leave that up to your wife. So we're going to talk, and we're going to find something that's been finished and get that entered in a fair in your area.
Okay.
Okay.
I knew you'd do that to me.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Sunday, Carolyn Mitchell – Carolyn Mitchell Designs from Canada will be our guest, and get to learn about her design work and her career. And You also get to learn why her shop that she doesn't, she closed that some time ago, was called Mrs. Twitchit's Eye.
Hmm.
It's interesting. So get to learn that from Carolyn. So that's Sunday. Fiber Talk made me buy it. Gets you off the hook when you spend money. please mention Fiber Talk if we enable you and get you to spend your money. We appreciate being made the scapegoat for that.
Yeah.
And Needleminders at the shop page on WeTalkFiber.com. And Gossamer Lace and other designs at the Works by ABC Etsy store.
Yes.
Thanks, Arlene.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.